100 devotees of the book.
Yeah, yeah.
Been out the whole street.
It's very nice. Almost 10 minutes, is it? Or 15 minutes?
10.
Shamsundar had completed most of the... Prabhupada began offering prayers. Govinda Madhipurushanta. He looked long at Krishna, who was white with a slight bluish cast, and at the exquisite white Radharani by his side. Krishna is so kind, he said. He has come like this. Then he had Shamsundar continue driving slowly back to the temple. I've heard this story so many times that everybody laugh and laugh and laugh listening to this story. Everybody describes it in such a dramatic way. You can't help but laugh and laugh, enjoying that story incident. This is a thought I'll do today, read it. Carefully, Prabhupada supervised his disciple, carrying deity up to the second floor. The devotees were astounded and delighted to see Prabhupada in such an animated and intense state, bringing Radha and Krishna into their temple. He had the deities placed in a curtained off section of his own room, and then he sat at his desk. You remember Prabhupada, the room Prabhupada used to sit in there? Someday, Prabhupada, when I come from the airport, I remember, long time, till 1 o'clock at night, he's talking, and all whole temple devotees are sitting there and listening. So many things Prabhupada is telling. One day, he was talking about Charlie Chaplin. I forgot. Which part of Charlie Chaplin? Charlie Chaplin's childhood days were in England, one part, and they were very poor in the beginning. Prabhupada was telling so many stories about Charlie Chaplin. Nice. He used to watch films of Charlie Chaplin stories, all those things, and devotees are listening and absorbed till 1 o'clock. Now, go to bed, all of you. Go, take rest.
He's like Laurel and Hardy.
Laurel and Hardy. Yeah, yeah, he might have said. Shamsundar also speaking. Time to time. Out. Shamsundar had completed most of the altar except for Lord Jagannath's altar and the canopy over Radha and Krishna's throne. Both the canopy and Lord Jagannath's altar would be supported by 4 heavy wooden columns, more than 6 feet high. 2 rear columns would hold a marble slab for the Jagannath to stand on, and the 2 front columns were now supporting Radha and Krishna's large velvet canopy. The columns were big and heavy. Shamsundar called them elephant's leg columns. The columns now stood in place on the altar, although Shamsundar hadn't had a chance to secure them. The day before the installation, Shamsundar collapsed upstairs in exhaustion. He worked so hard. Yeah. Sometimes, just like in the Rath Yatra, when they build the Rath Yatra car, I don't know, you remember? He used to go, and once, there are 2 weeks there, and Rath Yatra is not, Rath car is not ready. The Prabhupada sent Naranarayan. And I remember, devotees are working before Rath Yatra. The girls are sewing, still 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, and Samabhi is cooking, bringing something, hot drink, taking. The devotees in King's Cross used to build the Rath there, and devotees come, somebody's coming 1 o'clock, some 2 o'clock, and then taking this, they have to get up again. 3:30 to go take bath and come to Mangal Arati. Everybody is attending everything, though coming at late to go to bed after work. And the devotees are sewing dresses, making all the girls, and the boys are always going there. Most of them are working very, very hard. Well, but in time everything was completed. Everything. Devotees are so joyful when Rath Yatra starts. Especially one Rath Yatra, maybe 1973, Prabhupada himself was dancing Maybe somewhere they will lead there. It's so wonderful, I remember. Whole road poses dancing in front of the Rath. I don't know, from the beginning. At one point I think he got down, most probably, isn't he? 1973.
He started from the beginning.
From the beginning, huh? Yeah. We are there. At one point near Buckingham Palace, I remember all the Hilton, Dorchester Hotel, all they are watching as if the wonderful scene, the whole Prabhupada is with his hand raised, he's dancing. At some point he's exhausted and asked for water. Somebody water. I tried from a hawker, from a vendor. Before I could do that, then another boy, Kiradaksa's son, brought and gave it to Prabhupada or anything like that. Revati Nandan nearby, both are calling Hamsa Dutta to come. We're chanting. Very wonderful. Divine devotees, those who are present there, they say in the interview. And I think it's all recorded. You see. So, the opening day, many guests, Indian especially, crowded the temple, responding to flyers and advertisement. Apple Records had supplied a professional florist who had decorated the room with floral arrangement. A BBC television crew was on hand to videotape the ceremony, while most of the devotees held kirtan, Prabhupada behind a curtain at the other end of the temple, bathed Radha and Krishna. The plan was that after the bathing ceremony, the deities would be placed on the altar and Jamuna would dress them. Once they were dressed and enthroned, the curtain would open for all the guests to behold Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. Prabhupada would lecture and then everyone would feast. But because of Shyam Sundar's oversight, the installation almost became a disaster. Prabhupada had finished bathing the deities and they had been placed on the marble altar when suddenly the elephant leg columns tottered. That means? The canopy above the deities began to collapse. Prabhupada, seeing the danger, jumped on to the altar and seized the heavy column in a split second. With great strength, he held the two front pillars in place. "Get this out of here," he shouted. While Prabhupada, arms protected the deities, the men removed the canopy, and then two men at a time carried each of the pillars away. The deities remained unharmed. While Prabhupada was behind the curtain, rescuing Radha and Krishna on the other side of the curtain, guests and reporters awaited the unveiling of the deities. Unaware of the mishap, the guests saw only men emerging from behind the curtain carrying large pillars and a canopy. The BBC camera crew began filming the canopy and pillars as they appeared from behind the curtain, taking them to be part of a ceremonial procession. The few devotees behind the curtain with Prabhupada were amazed, but there was no time now for apologies or appreciations. Jamuna dressed the deities, Prabhupada hurrying her. When at last everything was ready, Prabhupada opened the main curtain, revealing the graceful forms of Sri Lord Radha and Krishna to the temple full of guests. A devotee began to offer arati, while Prabhupada, wearing a saffron chadar and a garland of carnations, stood to one side, reverentially looking upon Radha and Krishna as their worshipper and protector. This was the culmination of months of effort. Actually, years of planning had preceded this auspicious occasion. 100 years before, Bhaktivinoda Thakur had hoped for the day when Krishna consciousness would come to England, and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur had also desired it. Now that an authorized temple of Radha and Krishna was preaching Krishna consciousness in London, it was a historic occasion for Gaudiya Vaishnavism. A long-standing order for the previous acharyas had been fulfilled. Prabhupada had sent invitation to several of his godbrothers in India. None of them had been able to come, of course, but at least they should have been pleased to learn that this dream of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati had been fulfilled. Prabhupada was 73. He had now opened 21 temples in 3 years. Recently, he had told some of his disciples that they should try to form a governing body for ISKCON to relieve him of the management and allow him to concentrate fully on preaching Krishna consciousness, on presenting Krishna consciousness literature. This literature could be introduced all over the world into homes, schools, and colleges for the benefit of everyone. It would be in such literature that he would live on. How much time he had left in this world, he did not know, he said, but he wanted to go on serving and trying to please his Guru Maharaj life after life. And Prabhupada once said, I don't know what will happen. Time to time he used to tell his disciples, I will soon leave. I don't know, I am an old man. So once he thought, better I don't know how long it will take to finish my other books. So he completed a 10th canto in theology, Krishna book. He saw everything, he said, I'm putting, because I don't know whether I will be able to complete this 10th canto. He said, whatever he did, Srimad Bhagavatam, maybe 30 volume, he said, 10th canto itself will be like this, 30 volume. So better, I don't know whether I will live that long, better I put it in short everything, in Krishna book. He did that.
Was the Jagannath deities weren't installed at that time then?
It seems like, yeah.
You seem like they just had the pillars and the...
They
were in anticipation of installing Jagannath, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
At that time, he said there's 21 centers of Krishna consciousness.
21 or 34? What did I read?
21.
That's...
I knew there were that many at that time. Must have been all in America.
All in America.
Because there was only one in Europe.
Huh.
London was the only one, wasn't it? Huh. Was there one in Germany? Oh, Germany was there.
What?
Berlin.
Berlin.
Not in India?
In India,
I don't know.
In 69, there were a few devotees in.
All the West
Indies. Was there a temple also?
No. There were in 1969, Achyutananda Swami was here and.
Staying in Gurumar.
Yeah,
in Gurumar. And Prabhupada, so his disciple in Calcutta, South Calcutta, Hindustan Park Road or somewhere, staying, I saw that building there. So they took me there. At present, sometimes, a few years, small house, they say, sure, here, Jodi used to be, Prabhupada and all, small house.
So all those temples must have been in America?
Must be.
I heard that the biggest growth was in that time between 1966 and 1970, I think.
70,
maybe. In America, that was... time when most of the temples were open.
The book was called The Hare Krishna Explosion. And in America, it's just like an explosion.
It happened very fast in America.
Yeah, it happened very fast. Very fast.
Happy hippies. Mm. Happy hippies all joined.
Of course, hippies are becoming hippies. People are asking, are you hippies? Are you all hippies? No. Anybody can come. They're not hippies now.
Another important part was that Prabhupada turned third-class men who were the hippies who were dirty, horrible, into first-class men.
He
started the movement out of third-class men.
The miracles.
At that time, they're into it. How many they can... Anybody, they come, they try to make him a bhakta, I remember. I heard one, they said, we'll try every person, anybody kai, we'll try to make him a bhakta, shave off his head and start...
It's not like that anymore.
It is not like, they are very selective now.
Yeah, it's more selective. Mm. If someone comes and they think, he's not worth making.
What do you do? You see, this guy has got some talent, he can be used this.
It doesn't seem to be like a desperate...
At that time they are desperate, I overheard. You have to make this guy bhakta, you
know. Janadivas was telling me that when he joined up in Calcutta in 71, I think. He said that Tamal Krishna ran up the street after him He was just going to go. He was going to Benares to visit his brother. And he said to Mahakrishna, that ran up the street, chased him up the street, and said, "Where are you going? Come back. You can't go." And he actually said he wouldn't let him go.
And this my feeling also, in very place like that, they won't let me go. I said, "Dude, let me bring my baggage and my passport." But no, no, Krishna can take care. You don't have to. I said, "What are you talking? I have to have my passport. This is a foreign country." "No, no, Krishna can take care of everything. What about my clothes? It doesn't matter. Krishna will provide." I don't understand what it means, Krishna will provide.
I think they know that if someone goes away from the temple, they get into Maya straight away and they feel all
I see, and they never let people go to see their parents either.
Nothing, very strict.
Once you came in the temple, that was it, please, you know. Yeah, it's a completely different move now, actually. It's more sort of...
Though at the same time, they can make somebody feel, I remember, very like they are one of them, make them feel that is very near and dear one there. And they are so loving and affectionate, you know, to anybody comes those days, I remember. Everybody, all boys and girls, I remember. They make you feel like one of your family members is like that. So it's a nice city.
I remember when I joined the temple that I didn't have any contact with my family for years, and my father sent the Australian consulate around to the temple to find out what happened to me.
That's it.
The consulate general, he came to the temple.
Yeah.
Said, "Your father is very worried. He didn't know what happened to you. He didn't write any letter, nothing. You know, just completely forgot about the whole world. He didn't think of anything."
I wrote my father, but I didn't give the address. I don't know how father knew. He most surely saw, but I described that mostly through my lead, that mostly for all Westerners. And they are preaching Lord Chaitanya's message and they are telling, it is our duty, this is our culture, why they are spreading, and it is first my duty first to spread, to preach. So I thought that, yes, they are right. So I couldn't say anything. I think they're quite right. I can't say anything. So I'm doing this. I think he's right. And I'm saying, my father was scolding me, wrote something. That you should do that. It's not for this purpose he was sent. This, that. But I don't know how he got the address. I didn't give the address to him intentionally. So they're right. But I think he would understand. Here he saw the devotees in Calcutta, in front page, all picture, Mr. Masbidan. He might have gone there and asked the devotees the address. And there were two letters, in two address, manner and very place.
Maharaj, do you personally think that the mood now has become too regimental amongst devotees and senior devotees? Chastising?
What exactly regimental means?
Like the army.
Oh, I see.
I said, I think it was more like that in the old days. I think sannyasis had a very... sannyasis were very prominent.
Yeah.
Like Vatinaswami, he was like the generals.
But Subal Maharaj was not like general, but he was also heavy.
Who?
Subal. You saw Subal Maharaj?
Who?
Subal.
Subal. Subal.
He used to go to Buckingham Palace and sit down there. He wanted to go to preach to the Queen. They won't allow him. He would sit down and go whole day, and the evening would come. Subal, they didn't let me in. You know, they'll come in my room. I heard you study Sanskrit. You can teach me. I will read Brahma Samhita. He will explain to me some of the words, you know, what it means, this, that. He will call me in a small room, after. Yeah. You remember after Brahmachari room too? And he's small room, straight from the stairs. This, there is sannyasi room and other two side rooms are Brahmachari room. Up, go to the attic, and down, toilet.
Actually, remember that there was some kidnapping charge.
Ah, so many, not one.
Because they, But I don't know much about that case in America. I don't have much experience. But that was the general mood, was that if someone became a devotee, that was it. You know, you didn't care about your family or anything.
Nothing, and their parents will be coming. Almost tug of war sometime with... There is a Vijitavijaya's wife whose name was Jealous Thita or what? And I think Devotinanda said, we can't let her go. Once she goes, they won't let her come here. Her mother is seeing her, she is completely defiant then when she came. All these big hairs, now she has sari, these, they have look bright, and she's taking prasad and she doesn't know what to do. Her mother and father, there's mother looks like she's very influential, he said. I will everything I'll publish in bring it out in BBC and she's very Devotinanda says, hey, they are tug of war, they are pulling all the girls, men, all hand by hand. And she is one side, her mother, and she is in between one hand. I still remember that scene, just on the passage of the main gate. We sometimes used to sleep in front of the door in the gate, just behind, at night. Devotee will be coming packed up before Rath Yatra. And from France, Germany, Amsterdam, all the Western European devotees will come at night, anytime. We have no room to sleep in the stairs, sloping. We are sleeping sometimes. At night, 2 o'clock, 1 o'clock, devotee. Open door. Babu, Babu. He's sleeping here. Yeah, there is no place now.
I don't even remember there was a devotee from Germany last day.
Yeah, yeah.
And his wife. Actually, he...
German?
From Germany. Outside his wife...
Many, I don't see. Many of these, those old German devotees, I don't see. Few still there. Chakravarti gone, these are many others. Yes?
His wife used to sleep next to Prabhupada's door, and then he used to sleep on the next to there. Is like that right?
It's all again. What is called one over the other? They sleep.
Bunks.
Bunks. And the girls, there's got a small alley-like room, and all the girls sleep on bunks. Which ministry is? Did he used to sleep in bunk? No. Brahmachari?
Brahmachari has never had any bunks.
In bunk. They
never had a bed. It was, if you slept in a bed, you were really in Maya. Like really, really in Maya.
They're sleeping on the floor, the Brahmacharis.
No
bed. Sleeping bag, a blanket, a roll. Blanket, you just like make a, you know, roll? A chapati like that? You go inside and roll yourself with the blanket, I remember. Do you remember that? I remember that.
When Prabhupada first bought all those
crystals. Yeah, recording this. Actually, it's finished.
When Prabhupada first bought.
Prabhupada Leo Mehta, just yesterday talked about how Prabhupada had the London temple, Radha Lalaneshwara, installed. There is saying, Satsang Maharaj, saying Prabhupada was 73, he had now opened 21 temples in 3 years. Recently, he had told some of his disciples that they should try to form a governing body for ISKCON to relieve him of management and allow him to concentrate fully on presenting Krishna consciousness literature. This literature could be introduced all over the world, into homes, schools, colleges, for the benefit of everyone. It would be in such literature that he would live on. How much time he had left in this world, he did not know, he said, but he wanted to go on serving and trying to please his Guru Maharaj life after life. Nevertheless, despite Prabhupada's desire to retire from active work and absorb himself in writing books, here he was installing deities in a new temple and protecting them from his disciples' carelessness. Had he not been present, the celebration would have been a disaster. So many hard-working disciples, and they still needed his personal guidance. Prabhupada quite a few times says, many times, says, not quite a few times, that I may not be with you physically. Actually, I will live forever. And if you carry out my order and instruction, I will be with you. So, and these are in my books. So he said, in that, judging from that point, my books are very important, because I will be only physically with you all the time. But anyway, I will be with you all the time as long as you carry out my order and follow my instructions. Sometimes many devotees said about Prabhupada's something, then on answer Prabhupada sometimes said, my Guru Maharaj is always with me because I am carrying out his order. This way Prabhupada used to teach us. Actually, pure devotee teaches his disciple this way, himself, from his life instruction, he shows how to live a life of a devotee. ISKCON was just beginning to grow. Prabhupada wanted to open not just a few temples, but at least 108. His world traveling and book printing were just beginning, and like everything else, the number of disciples would increase. The prestige of his movement would increase, and with its opposition from the atheist, Krishna consciousness was growing, and Prabhupada was in the forefront. All around I see bright, he said. That is the glory of Krishna. He saw himself as a servant of his spiritual master. The bright future was in Krishna's hands. On the day Prabhupada's departure from London, he distributed some of his personal effects, such as sweaters, scarves, to his disciples. Where is Shambhu gone? Many devotees got so many things. Somebody is fortunate, got many refers. He then went downstairs alone into the temple to see the deities. He offered full prostrated obeisances on the floor for a long time and then stood looking at Radha and Krishna. This reminds, Prabhupada says, this deity was something uncommon. Many stories there about. Sometimes Prabhupada will be gazed at the deity for a long time, 5 minutes. Sometimes devotee asked Prabhupada, there was, I don't know whether I told, there's two asanas there. Either side, one side of Krishna and one side of Radharani, the altar of this size. Golden color on top, then maybe green, like deep green, yeah. As far as I remember. So some devotee asked, I don't know who, I can't remember now. Hey, Prabhupada, what are these vyasasana meant for? These two, who do we place them there? He said, no, it can remain like that, put these two vyasasana. This deity is so beautiful. Sometime great personalities, I don't know, Shambhu, you can remind me who these personalities for those vyasasana, maybe Narad Muni and Lord Shiva comes and seeing so many foreigners chanting, dancing. They like it to see all these things. So come here and sit down, see the deity and the arati. And so say, keep these two asanas like that. I still remember, this is the most incident many devotees know in London temple. Did you get anything, Prabhupada, when he used to leave? Sometimes he will give presents that he used, his sweater, fountain pen, his blanket. He will give all these things. I remember. Many devotees got that. Not only London, other places also. Matajis, devotees, brahmacharis, sannyasis, he'll give before he goes. Some of them returned that for the archive. Some I don't know where they've gone. What did Prabhupada say? Those two places to sit? Who are coming? Narad Muni and Lord Shiva?
I thought Brahma.
Brahma. Brahma and Shiva? Or Narad Muni?
Narad Muni.
Brahma and Narad. Narad Muni. Narad is one I remember. Other one I'm not sure. Maybe Brahma. Yeah.
Yamuna, same Yamuna, not really. Prabhupada was looking at the deities with complete devotion. He loved those deities. He commented about their exquisite beauty and how they complemented each other. How sometimes Radharani looked more beautiful, but how Krishna's moon-like face and eyes were shining. Prabhupada saw me and matter-of-factly said, if you practice what I have taught you and follow the instructions of how I have taught you to worship the deity, and if you read the books that we have printed, it is sufficient for you to go back to Godhead. So simple. A pure devotee can make it very simple to go back to Godhead. It's up to us. In nectar of instruction purpose, it is up to the, it is the attitude of the devotee that depends, you know, for his progress. It depends on the attitude. If what Guru says in Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, in Bhagavad Gita, there is a verse, over time to time, quoted, said, Bhavasattika Bhutti. If somebody in total follow the instruction of Guru, Sadguru, then Krishna consciousness has become easy. Otherwise, it could be difficult also, a different person. I many times heard, many devotees said about her. Sometime back she came also, this Yamuna Mataji. Prabhupada taught her many things, how to cook, this, and then her books are now world famous.
Janadivas told me that, Janadivas told me that she came here a few years ago, and she hadn't been here when she saw the deities, Radhamadava and the Astasakis. He said that now she understands what Prabhupada wanted in Vrindavan, because he told her that she should get the Astasakis for Vrindavan.
Achha.
But she said that the altar was already made and everything's already made, so it's not possible. But he said that he wanted the Astasakis in Vrindavan.
Achha.
So they ended up getting just Lalita and Vishaka as well. That's what Panjani
said. I was there, Panjani. Jani was me and she was sitting in the temple one day. Sometime back, she came, last, after many years. Maybe that one is mentioned.
Yeah.
I forgot what she spoke. I was sitting there, few of us, in the middle of the temple, between Prabhupada and the deity. She did, in the beginning, all used to dress the deity. Prabhupada used to ask her, do all this thing, taking care of the deity. Yes. Later on, other Mataji, maybe Rancho's wife, Balagopal, and what is Rancho's wife's name? She also. Whoever it may be, I can't remember. But I think. Prabhupada liked all this, the way they required. Prabhupada one time said that we have got the idea, one who goes out for preaching, lecturing, and this, that. Then he said, even some pujari, if they are too absorbed in dressing and taking care of the deity, he said, maybe they may have such intimate association with the Lord when he goes back to the spiritual world. Same service they may do. It may happen, Prabhupada said. Today I was reading in Satsarup Mahaji's one book, My Relationship with Krishna. There, I think he is one place saying, or another book, regarding the deity, people say, those in ISKCON doing deity worship, and very seriously and sincerely, and working very hard, Prabhupada sometimes say, they are maybe among even ISKCON devotees, maybe one of the most fortunate devotees. If you read the books we have printed, it is sufficient for you to go back to Godhead. You need not learn anything new. You see? Prabhupada is so kind. He made it easy for anybody to go back to Godhead. Simply practice what I have taught you, and your life will be perfect Then he left, just left. Left the name. Read from somewhere else, in Calcutta, the GBC, what is old, all these things. I'd like to read something else. So Prabhupada dropped it, you know, something about this. After London, Srila Prabhupada returned to America, where he spent some 7 months at his US centers, especially Los Angeles. During late July in Los Angeles, he revealed his plans for establishing a governing body commission to manage ISKCON. To this end, he dictated the following on July 28, 1970. Prabhupada then, listed the names of the 12 persons who would form the GBC. He noted, although Srila Prabhupada intended GBC to oversee the activities of ISKCON, he was not creating monolithic structure. He wrote to Karandhar, a GBC member, "Each temple must remain independent and self-sufficient. That was my plan from the very beginning. Once there is bureaucracy, the whole thing will be spoiled. There must always be individual striving and work and responsibility, competitive spirit. Not that one shall dominate and distribute benefit to the others, and they do nothing but beg from you, and you provide. No, never mind, there may be botheration to register each center, take tax certificate each, become separate corporations in each state that will train men how to do these things, and they shall develop reliability and responsibility." It's very important, this is. Then in Calcutta, something nice. For the first time in almost 3 years, Prabhupada returned to India, to Calcutta, his hometown. Although it was late and the journey had been long, Prabhupada felt happy as he descended the stairways from the airplane. Achyutananda and Jayapataka, his only American disciples in India, were standing on the airfield, and as he saw him approaching in his saffron silk robes, they bowed down. Prabhupada smiled and embraced them. Calcutta was in political turmoil. A group of communist terrorists, the Naxalites, had been rioting, murdering prominent businessmen, and threatening the lives of many others. Many wealthy Marwari industrialists were leaving the city for Delhi and Bombay. Aside from the terrorists, Bengali college students were growing unruly, but the older people of West Bengal, comprising most of the Prabhupada's visitors, were alarmed by the violence and unrest. The only shelter, Prabhupada told them, was Krishna. People are in very much perturbed condition. All of them are expecting me to do something for ameliorating the situation. But I am simply advising them to chant Hare Krishna, because this transcendental sound is the only panacea. How you pronounce?
Panacea.
For all material disease. Prabhupada saw no need to fabricate a special program for the social problems of Calcutta. Chanting Hare Krishna was the only panacea for all material diseases. The question was how best to use his American disciples to give this panacea to the Indians. Prabhupada had come with a party of 10 devotees, and he had asked his leaders in the West for 20 more within the month. He had ordered $60,000 worth of books and magazines, Dai Nippon Printing Company in Japan. This is Krishna book. And his sannyasis were going daily into the streets to perform kirtan. the Sankirtan party was getting a good response. Seven-headed Westerners hearing Shikhas, Vaishnav Tilak and saffron ropes playing Kartal Mridanga, chanting Hare Krishna with heart and soul, quoting Sanskrit verses from Bhagavad Gita, affirming Lord Krishna to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For the Bengalis, this was sensational. Hundreds would gather to watch. Prabhupada knew the great appeal his disciples would have. Everyone would want to see them. He therefore affectionately called them his dancing white elephants. So often Bhavananda used to tell, and so many people used to come also in Mayapur. I remember, I can even in my wildest dream could think of when we're in the West. When you come to India, so many will be coming. I can never think of them. Even today, what the number comes, you saw every weekend or holiday. Last Punya, I can't think of it. Maybe there. Any kid, even in West Bengal, no, Mayapur. So many times, newspaper, news of Mayapur. The same devotees who had grown to love chanting Hare Krishna in the streets of San Francisco, Los Angeles, New York, were now going into an exhausting heat. Nab encountered in America and chanting on Dalhousie Square for several hours daily. Crowds would press in closely, sometimes teasing, laughing, or scoffing, but more often looking on with deep amazement. Prabhupada's idea was that when Indians saw young Westernized people adopting the principle of Krishna consciousness, the faith of the Indians in their own culture would increase. Prabhupada explained to his disciples how formerly during the time of Maharaj Yudhishthira, India had been a Krishna conscious state. For the last 1,000 years, however, India had been under foreign subjugation, first under the Mughals, then under the British. As a result, the intelligentsia and to a lesser degree the masses of Indians had lost respect for their own culture. They are now pursuing the materialistic goals of the West. They saw this as more productive, more practical than religion, which was only sentimental. You see that? As Prabhupada decided, he, before go to West, he was trying here to organize. He thought he will train up 40 young men and then send them to the West in Krishna consciousness to preach. But he didn't get good response. When you go to different people, they give you one of your son, you have got so many sons, they say, Swamiji, what will be the use to make, if you make my son a Brahmin, there are so many Brahmins in India. Prabhupada never got a good response from the Indians. So Prabhupada thought, all right, let me see. Now, if I go to the West, they follow superpowers like either Russia or America, more America. And government may follow Russia, but people like America more than India. So, follow. So Prabhupada said, if I can make some Americans, Westerners, especially Americans, disciples, then they see them, then they will follow. So let me try to go to America. Westerners living as renounced Vaishnav could, as Prabhupada was well aware, turn the heads and hearts of the Indians and help them regain faith in their own lost culture. It was not a material tactic, however, but a spiritual strength. Prabhupada states that devotees must be pure in their actions. This purity would be their force. Because purity is the force. Books are the basis. So ISKCON is still there because of the books. For say, this ISKCON place is my heart. He says that. ISKCON is the, my body. Say, different times, different thing he says. Sometimes say, ISKCON means is another incarnation of Krishna. No? Something like that he says. Not different from Krishna. Nobody can kill Krishna. So nobody can destroy ISKCON. Unless from you have got internal fight. He said, otherwise nobody can destroy ISKCON. He said. And he said, purity is the force. He said, so utilize this, whatever is there. Utility is the principle. And the last, another one, and preaching is the essence. So said, everybody has to become a preacher in ISKCON. Everybody, he said, has to be a preacher. You cannot preach, just distribute my book, this is also preaching. Even if you are a pujari, you have at least save one hour, noon time. Some of the pujaris, Mataji, go out, try to distribute book. I was good for nothing in distributing book, this, that. But I was told by the president, so at least once a week you go, or in a month, sometime you go. If not every day you can. I was, what is called transcribing Prabhupada's lecture, also translating sometime. Those days.
You're transcribing Prabhupada's lecture?
Yeah, Sam Sundar used to give all Prabhupada's tapes. Sometimes sent from India to London, and I used to go to British Museum. I asked Prabhupada, can I go to the library? Prabhupada once allowed. He said, you can stay. I said, in the noontime, nobody is in the temple. Maybe some Mataji is there. I don't like to be alone. So he said, all right, you go to the library.
You're transcribing them into English?
Transcribing means listening the tape and writing? Is it?
Yeah.
And I was doing that sometime, and sometime Prabhupada asked me some books to translate.
From when he was translating Bhagavatam?
When he was giving lecture in different places.
And where would that be written down?
Sometimes English lecture also there. And they send me all the tapes. When I was coming to India, being the Sodoja not done, Prabhupada used to see and read it to me. And then I gave it to one devotee. You remember one devotee, I forgot his name, maybe Obhimanyu. And he used to work in Buckingham Palace as a guard. You know? And he was coming to Vrindavan. I said, I cannot take so many, can you carry some? When he came to Vrindavan and asked him, he said, it's all lost. I was shocked, I can't think of, how could you do such thing? You know, I can't think of it. Anyway, I had some with me, and I gave it to him. One devotee said, there was a Hindi was there, Prabhupada's secretary, Sam Sundar, sometime Pradyumna, he'll send it to me, to London.
But there were all lectures in Hindi and Bengali.
Hindi and Bengali.
And you were translating
with English? I was listening for the tape recorder and recording.
Writing it down.
Just writing
it
down. So when they were lost, that means there was no other copy of the lecture?
I don't know. I inquired in Los Angeles. This is some there. Somebody else may have. They don't tell sometimes. Last few I had, that also somebody broke my, when I was in another country went, they broke my locker and took away. Once I gave some to a copy. The Hindis were there now in Bombay, I think. I gave to Niranjan Prabhu. I think Bombay they are available. Bengali ones, some Los Angeles there, they told me, not all.
There's a lot of lectures that weren't recorded actually.
Yeah.
Actually, I was in Melbourne one time and Prabhupada called a meeting.
Meathead?
Huh?
Meathead, he said to some.
No, he called a meeting.
Oh, meeting, I see.
He called all the devotees to come to his room.
That's it?
Yeah. And he gave a special talk,
yes,
about becoming a guru.
Yes, you can speak something about that?
I know is that he gave a special talk about, it was like a special thing that he called everyone there, and then they recorded the lecture on a reel-to-reel tape recorder.
Mm-hmm.
And then, the secretary to put the tape recorder on back to front. So that they didn't record that lecture. It was really an important thing. He called all the devotees together to, especially to say that. And there was one devotee named, he's with the Harry Balls.
Yeah.
His name was, he was in New Zealand, he was a sannyasi.
Siddhasaru?
No, he's right. His right hand man.
Madhisha?
No, someone else. Well, he had a copy of that, and he's the only person that has a copy of it.
Is it?
And no one else has a copy.
Yeah, I think sometime many things may not be recorded. When the man or many times Prabhupada is saying something, interview, some people are coming to see him, what he is saying.
Tushti
when,
Krishna.
Ah, yeah.
Tushti Krishna yeah, song.
That's right.
Does he still have the type?
I don't know
where that is. He's not now in the movement, I think.
No, I don't know what he's doing now.
Many things here. Yeah. But secretary usually record, anybody comes and record. I remember sometimes many things are not recorded also. Usually, secretary and the servant record everything with the tape recorder. So many important people used to come to see George Harrison, some BBC man, big guy. Sometimes Dewey does know how to put him, he other than chair he can sit. So Prabhupada allowed, and let him sit in chair. I will sit down there. And we're talking, big guy, some maybe BBC. Sometime from France, some big editor of a newspaper will come, ask Prabhupada questions. Sometimes some professor will come. One day, the famous historians, they're going to see Toynbee, international well-known British historian. Toynbee? How you pronounce? Toynbee? He's famous man. Historian. I don't know. I don't think he's alive. He died. International well-known historian. They say they cannot bring him. He's too old. So Prabhupada has to go to his place. His secretary. And when he came back, I asked, what did he say? He said, you can hardly hear what he's saying. But it's all recorded in the tape. Now maybe... maybe in his book will be there. This book somehow must be there, some of his books. What he said. Anyway, so it's saying. Prabhupada stressed that devotees are pure. And the chanting in Delhousie Square along Churungi had gone on for about 10 days when Prabhupada decided to stop it. Street kirtan, although an excellent method for preaching, was not the most effective method for India. He said, there are many professional kirtan groups in Bengal and Prabhupada didn't want his disciples to be seen like that. As professional performers or beggars, he wanted them to preach in a way that would bring them closer to the more intelligent, respectable Indians, and he unfolded his new plans. He called it life membership. His disciples would invite Indian interested in supporting and associating with ISKCON to become members. A membership fee of 1,111 rupee would entitle the member to many benefits such as copies of Srila Prabhupada's books, free accommodation in ISKCON centers around the world. Speaking one evening in a private home before a group of wealthy businessmen, Prabhupada initiated his life membership program. After lecturing, he invited his audience to become ISKCON life member, and several Calcutta merchants immediately signed. B. L. Jaju is saying, my member, I was really overwhelmed by the simplicity of Prabhupada's nature. He told me how he had been carrying on his regular business when his guru had told him that 400 years back, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had said that Hare Rama, Hare Krishna would be chanted all throughout the world. He said that was the job given to him by his spiritual master, and that he would have to go to America and do it. So you see how he did it.
Was by was.
I found no snobbery in him. He was very simple and he was telling as if my brother was telling me simply how he went to the USA, how he started and how gradually he planned to have this Krishna consciousness throughout the world. Seeing his disciples who had changed their lives, I began to think, why not? In my humble way, I should do something without worrying what other people are doing. I found that imperceptibly that he was affecting my life. My wife and even my son were really surprised when they found that these white people, whom we thought could never turn to Krishna consciousness, had changed so much. So we thought we also must try to follow better the teachings of Gita.
Gita.
Prabhupada continued holding programs in people's home and talking with guests in his room. One day, a Mr. Dandharia visited Prabhupada and mentioned Bombay's upcoming Sadhu Samaj, a gathering of the most important sadhus in India. It was to be held at Chaupati Beach and promised to be a big affair. Mr. Dandharia requested Prabhupada to attend, and Prabhupada accepted. This is a story, I think must be that one. I don't know how they did today. This is that last time. That is the incident. Maybe you'll read it very quickly. It's very interesting. We heard this incident. The sand of the Chaupati beach was fine and clean. The audience numbered in the thousands. Sadhu sat on stage, Prabhupada and his followers among them. It was twilight. The sky above the Arabian Sea was cloudy and a pleasant breeze was stirring. There had already been two lectures expounding the Mayavad philosophy, and now it was time for Prabhupada to speak, the last scheduled speaker of the evening. The audience was eager to hear him. His accomplishments in the West had caused great curiosity, especially now that he had arrived in Bombay and his devotees were chanting daily in public. Prabhupada's disciples, bored and exasperated by the preceding 2 hours of Hindi oratory, could scarcely wait any longer for Prabhupada to speak. But Prabhupada, instead of addressing the audience, turned to his disciple and said, "Begin chanting." As soon as the devotee, because they all got bored, people who don't like all the impersonally speaking, this is very dry. I heard that, this incident. Little Sarasvati, Shamsundar's daughter, stood and began to dance. Following her, the other devotees rose and began to dance. As the kirtan came alive with the midanga and kartal, the dancing and chanting of the devotees seemed to disturb some of the sadhus on stage, who rose one by one and left. Because they are dry, you know. They cannot relish this thing. But see how the public respond. The devotees spontaneously jumped down onto the sand and headed towards the audience, as they usually do. Thousands in the crowd rose to their... rose to their feet and began to move along with the devotees in a dance, backward and forward. Indians began crying in uncontrolled happiness, overwhelmed by the genuine Krishna bhakti of these foreigners. Never before had such a thing happened. Policemen and press reporters joined in the chanting, dancing. Chaupati beach was in an uproar of Hare Krishna kirtan as Prabhupada and his disciples showed the potency of Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement. After about 10 minutes, the kirtan ended. Though a tumultuous unrest pervaded the talkative crowd, 15 minutes elapsed before all the people returned to their seats and the program could continue. The devotees had left the stage and taken their seats on the ground level, leaving Prabhupada alone on stage. Prabhupada's voice echoed over the public address system. Ladies and gentlemen, I was requested to speak in Hindi, but I am not very much accustomed to speak in Hindi. Therefore, the authorities in the meeting have allowed me to speak in English. I hope you will follow me because it is Bombay and most people will be speaking English. The problem is, as this evening's speaker, His Holiness Swami Akhandanandaji, spoke to you how we can make everyone accustomed to take up good habits, sadachar. I think in this age, Kali Yuga, there are many faults. Prabhupada went on to explain the power of Lord Chaitanya's movement to clean the hearts of everyone. He referred to the two great rogues whom Chaitanya Mahaprabhu delivered, Jagai and Madhai. Now we are saving wholesale Jagai Madhais.
Prabhupada often said, Kali Yuga is full of Jagai Madhai, little, little. So drunkards.
Now we are saving wholesale Jagai Madhais. Therefore, if we want peace, if we want to be situated on the Sadachar platform, then we must spread the Harinam Mahamantra all over the world. And it has been practically proven. The Americans and the European Vaishnavs who have come here, who have chanted Hare Krishna mantra, they were cow flesh eaters, they were drunkards, they were illicit sex mongers, they were all kinds of gamblers. But having taken to this Krishna conscious movement, they have given up everything abominable. Sadachar has come automatically. They do not even take tea, they do not even take coffee, they do not even smoke, which I think is very rare to be found in India.
It's true. Anywhere you go in India, some time back, before the Britishers came, they never heard about tea. Achha. Now, I'm coming from Delhi, I'm coming from, going to Orissa. Even at night, 1 o'clock maybe, some station come, some guy near the window will come. Chai, chai, chai. Chai garam. Chai garam, chai garam. He's everybody familiar with this sound. Even a foreigner, they know what is it. What is this thing? Chagram.
I was in train with this bag in the window, chant Hare Krishna. And when I come to the window, I say, how do you chant all day, Krishna, Krishna, Rama, Rama, Krishna, Krishna, Rama, Rama? I look at him and say, how do you chant Hare Krishna? I say, are you how can chant the full day and night, Chagram, Chagram? And he look at me and say, Chagram, he went to he's carrying the chai.
He was chanting.